it's a big game. I mean, it doesn't get any bigger than this. So the big thing that helped me was knowing that I didn't have to be Superman. I have amazing teammates, amazing coaches around me.
That's winning quarterback Nick Foles following the Eagles' 41-33 victory in Super Bowl 52 over the New England Patriots. Now word is some of the players are already indicating that they won't take part in the traditional White House visit, citing their opposition to President Trump. Among them, wide receiver Torrey Smith. President Trump accusing the ranking Democrat on the House Intelligence Committee, Adam Schiff, of leaking information. The president saying on Twitter that, quote, little Adam Schiff is desperate to run for higher office and is one of the biggest liars and leakers in Washington. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
If you're a CPAP user, soap and water cleaning may leave harmful bacteria, viruses, and mold that can make you sick. That alone will keep you up at night. Until now, SoClean.com is the world's first and only automated hands-free CPAP cleaner and sanitizer. SoClean kills 99.9% of all CPAP germs without soap, water, harsh chemicals, or even equipment disassembly. And now, you can try it risk-free for 30 days. Call 800-768-0158.
SoClean changed the CPAP experience for the better. My health has improved. It's simple to use, and I'm not worried about infections.
SoClean's revolutionary design makes it easy to clean your CPAP and protect you against CPAP-related illnesses. Plus, SoClean works with all popular CPAP devices to clean them in minutes. It really is that easy. Don't risk your health. Call SoClean.com now to try it risk-free for 30 days. Call 800-768-0158. This offer won't last. Call now. 800-768-0158. 800-768-0158.
Investigators are looking at an improperly aligned track switch as they investigate yesterday's deadly train crash in South Carolina. The track switch routing the Amtrak train onto a track where a CSX freight train was parked. Two people, members of the crew of the Amtrak train, died in the crash near Columbia. Over 100 people aboard that Amtrak train were injured. A strong but shallow earthquake striking off the coast of Taiwan last evening. USA Radio's Wendy King with more.
No casualties have been reported so far. Aftershocks with magnitudes between 4 and 5 rumbled across the country. The Taiwan News reported a total of 10 aftershocks, with the largest being magnitude 5.5.
More on Super Bowl 52, an ad that ran during it that used a Martin Luther King Jr. speech to sell Dodge Ram trucks is drawing some outrage. It ended with a tagline built to serve. Some folks on social media say they were trying to profit off of King. And this is USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Wayne Allyn Root with a confession to make. I wear my blue blocker sunglasses everywhere. How good are blue blockers? First, America's astronauts using the same formula wore them in outer space. And over 20 million pairs have been sold throughout the world. 20 million! Blue blockers provide the best eye protection you can own. And you can't even break the lens with a hammer. So call toll-free and order one pair for $29.95 or two pairs for $39.95 plus postage. Just call toll-free 800-722-7777. That's 800-722-7777. 800-722-7777.
Jordan's leader discusses President Trump's plan to move the U.S. embassy to Jerusalem and ramifications it could have on the future of the entire Middle East peace process. King Abdullah II of Jordan saying recognizing Jerusalem as the Israeli capital is kind of a complication.
It is a complication for Jordan, and we've had some very good exchanges with the president and with the administration over the past year. And our position was that, look, we understand that this is something that is important to the president. It was a campaign promise. But the subject of Jerusalem has to be a part of a comprehensive solutions for Israelis and for Palestinians.
He spoke on CNN. A North Carolina man and his daughter are facing incest charges after having a child together. 42-year-old Stephen Plattel and Katie Plattel, who's 20, were arrested late last month in North Carolina on charges out of Virginia, where they allegedly first started an illicit relationship several years ago. And actress Uma Thurman's now accusing disgraced movie producer Harvey Weinstein of sexual assault. In a story published in the New York Times, Thurman detailed how Weinstein attacked her in a room at the Savoy Hotel in London in 1994. A spokesman for Weinstein says the 65-year-old denies the sexual assault accusations, saying he made an awkward pass at Thurman. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Hey, Pat, did you you know, between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterton Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home sweet home.
Local weather here at HuntertonChamberRadio.com, outside our studios, 29 degrees. Highs could get near 35 today. A little gusty wind out there, though. Increasing clouds tonight, low around 18. Cloudy on Tuesday, gradually becoming more sunny. High in the upper 30s. Tuesday night, a chance of freezing rain. Snow and freezing rain Wednesday morning. And then the snow between 9 a.m. and 1 p.m. Rain before midnight Wednesday night, then rain and snow between midnight and 2 a.m. Thursday, clearing up. Sunny with a high in the lower 30s. Down the teens at night. Friday, the same, sunny with a high in the 30s. And low in the 20s at Friday night. And then maybe rain coming again, at least from this point. We'll see what happens. Stay tuned for Chef Bill's Table.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterton Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterton-chamber.org.
Welcome to the table. Chef Bill's Table here at HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Another Monday morning. Hopefully everybody's recovered from yesterday. Last night's extravaganza. Enjoyed a lot of food. A lot of wings out yesterday. We got calls. People were, other places were running out. We made it through, thank God. The tenders are usually our big one. But somehow, and even Saturday night, looks like people like chicken wings. I guess if you do them properly, fun food. So what's coming up now? Well, we've got Mardi Gras, which is probably getting into full swing. Down in New Orleans, people think of the spicy Cajun food. Of course, Creole is kind of the city cooking, a little more refined, and the Cajun was out in the country. Really became aware of the early 80s. Chef Paul Prudhomme from Commander's Palace. Great chef. Brennan family always seemed to hire the right people. Another alumnus is Emeril Lagasse from that restaurant. Jamie Shannon. You know, they survived. Independent restaurants. They have a few. A friend of mine that actually got me into the business, Jerry Maris, was the chef at Mr. B's Bistro, which is one of the Brennan's restaurants in the 80s, mid-80s. Hope Jerry's still out there plying his trade, or maybe he's getting to the end of the road. Anyway, in 1985, Paul Prudhomme, Chef Paul, used to close his restaurant in the summertime, I guess because of the heat, whatever. He had a little place called K. Paul's, and because he'd gone from the big fancy restaurants into just doing his thing. Made famous, of course, blackened food, blackened redfish. Redfish is kind of it was inexpensive, the drum, a way to make food taste like it was cooked outside, but you're doing it inside. And the redfish quickly got bought up. Everybody, I used to do fish that way. In fact, we'll talk about procedures a little bit later. So, 85, so in the summary, take his restaurant on the road, went into New York City in 1985. I had the good fortune to be able to go to the restaurant. It was like a pop-up restaurant for the summer. And in fact, one of my colleagues over at Polytech, Paul Ingenito, used to own the Perryville Inn. He's now the instructor for Polytech and RVCC. He was actually cooking that summer. We found out, we were comparing notes one time because he had worked in the city. And he says, yes, I was working in that restaurant that summer. So that's where I first experienced what I use now in the restaurant as Jake's Steak, our Cajun steak. And again, more about that a little bit later. But got to taste the food. I had bought the book. Still have the poster framed nicely after all these years. But I really, it's good food, very rich food with Chef Paul Prudhomme, of course, very imposing figure at that time physically. He's, his cooking was all of his butter and cream and more butter and more cream. I mean, rooted in French techniques, obviously, you know, a great chef. But what happened was the Acadians came down there. The Frenchmen from French people from Canada landed down there. They didn't want to swear allegiance to the King of England, so they voted with their feet. They ended up down there, and then you had the Spanish influence, African influence, and then using the indigenous products down there, of course, developed their own cuisine. Now, the classic restaurants, the old Antoine's and places like that, a lot of it is still rooted in heavily in French technique and French kind of dishes. Of course, down there, you know, instead of lobsters, you've got crayfish, abundance of oysters, rice. Louisiana still produces quite a bit of rice. So the cuisine of the people became based on those indigenous products, which is true of anywhere. Sometimes you go with technique and you find the ingredients. Now, of course, we import ingredients from all over the place, but these are some of the great cuisine marriages, I like to call them, where people adapt. And usually people that leave their home country or their home area are very adaptable. They're pioneers. They get out there and they make do.
Send it off in a letter to yourself.
So we're looking at you know, some examples. Again, anything oysters. You know, Antoine's restaurant offers oysters many ways, most famous of which is Rockefeller. And according to them, there's no spinach in Oysters Rockefeller. And, of course, every recipe you see out there is based on spinach. All they'll tell you is it was a puree of local greens. And, you know, I'm guessing, you know, maybe, you know, because of the anise flavor in there from Pernod or absinthe, which was probably used at the time. There could have been fennel in there. It could have been with some wild greens like arugula. I guess spinach became the substitute. But the idea is, you know, it was something very rich tasting. And when you make Oysters Rockefeller, and you see recipes for it, some are simple. It's just some chopped spinach. And a lot of places will throw a sauce on top, like a hollandaise or, you know, even a cheese sauce. And when you see the way they're presented at Antoine's, I mean, it's a puree. And it actually doesn't even look that pretty because it's cooked out. It's cooked very soft, so it's not bright, bright green. But flavored with some hot sauce, some other vegetables. And if you're making it, say, with spinach, and, you know, you put your shallots, you know, a little bit of garlic in there, or scallions. Scallions are probably better. Green onions were probably what they would have used there. Your hot sauce, if you like that. And, of course, the licorice flavor, which, you know, some people are a little thrown off by. It shouldn't be overpowering, but it does complement the dish. Used to do a dish with the seafood and a Pernod cream on spinach pasta, for example, kind of emulating that. So you make your puree, have your fresh oysters, and you just bake them in the oven. And again, the, you know, the spinach around the edges might get a little crispy, and most restaurants will throw many of them will throw a sauce on top, which, you know, now you've got oysters with a spinach hollandaise, which is fine. And I guess since the recipe's never been divulged, we kind of have to make do with that. But there's other toppings, oysters with even kind of a seafood cream sauce, a spicy cocktail-type sauce. Many ways to bake oysters. So, and, of course, the best way is raw. And during Mardi Gras or any time at Jake's on Sunday, we have Buck a Shuck. We always have the oysters, the dollar oysters and dollar top-neck clams. We've got a break for a little couple of words here from sponsors, and we're going to learn how to make roux, which is kind of a foundation of, well, not only French cuisine, but the Cajun cuisine. And gumbos, jambalaya, maybe I'll give you some hints on Cajun spices if you like that kind of food. Chef Bill's Table.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
This is Tony Clark, Para Planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you...
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
All right, we're back at the table here, back at Chef Bill's Table. So what are we going to look at first? Cajun spices. There's many of them out there. I remember when first seeing the blackened fish, as of course a relatively young chef, and wondering, like, you know, how is this stuff? I thought, you know, paprika, I was taught always it burned, it got bitter, and how is this stuff so good? Well, I went, of course, after trying it, you realize that, and I think in the words of Chef Paul, would be you got to burn it sweet, not bitter. I remember talking with Pete here, the Pete Nurcio, and saying that paprika, after a few minutes, will get bitter. So the idea with blackening things, it's a very, very quick way of cooking, seared in a cast iron pan. And, of course, it's spicy. A lot of places, tuna does very well. Fatty fish, swordfish is excellent. The redfish, of course, kind of a coarser fish from the drum family. You want fish that have a little bit of fat content in it, and you're searing them, cooking them very quickly. Thin fillets like flounder don't work. I mean, well, we've done it with a nice fluke is firm enough to do it, but you've got to do this very, very quickly. Something like cod or pollock fishes, the ground fish like that, just, you know, they'll fall apart. So steak fish are good, or something coarser texture like the drum. And a lot of Cajun spice mixes, if you buy one off the shelf. Now, again, I'm not even it's not a sponsor or anything, but, you know, Chef Paul Prudhomme's the whole series he has is pretty good. What I did, I bought his book, and his spice mixes are in there in recipes. And what I found is, for my taste, they were too salty, so we adjusted ours and cut the salt in half. Now, a couple of things happen here. Of course, the salt kind of spreads the spice out more, so if you're cutting down the salt, you need some in there, but you're going to end up using a little bit less of the spice because, you know, obviously the hot peppers are more concentrated in there because you don't have that volume of salt. So we like, for the fish and for chicken, we do two spices there. And these seasonings are good for seasoning flour, for sautéing. It's a great all-around spice because you've got mostly paprika. So 3/4 of a cup of paprika, 1/2 cup of salt, regular fine salt, not the coarse salt, 1/4 cup of garlic. Now, here's where if you use garlic salt, you're going to have too much salt. We use granulated garlic. You could use garlic powder, but we find the granulated works better. Only because when you're mixing up things like this, if you have powders in there and granulated, sometimes they don't mix as evenly. So seek out granulated garlic, 1/4 cup, 1/4 cup of granulated onion, 1/4 cup of cayenne pepper, 3 tablespoons of black pepper, 2 tablespoons of dried thyme, 2 tablespoons of dried oregano, and 3 tablespoons of white pepper. So this is a fairly spicy mix. And we mix it well, so there's not pockets of salt or anything in there. As I say, sprinkling on, even if you're baking seafood, a little bit of that sprinkled on top, and it goes very well with the lemon butter or wine butter, garlic butter, anything like that. So we use that for, you know, Cajun fish tacos. That's also a spice we use for chicken. And we'll sprinkle it on and grill things with it. It's not too bad. You get a little bit of burning from the grill grates there, but when you're cooking something thin, you don't have that exposure to the heat that long. Best way is in a pan, cast iron, of course, or a heavy pan, and you'll get a good sear on the product. Plus, you'll get that, if you use a dry pan, you get that blackening effect. What you do is you get the pan, if it's cast iron, make sure your fan's on. Put the product in there, and then a little bit of clarified butter goes on, and that helps lubricate. It mixes with the paprika. It makes it work. Some things you just don't question, right? The man came up with it. So you get, depending on how hot your pan is, you'll get a good blackened crust on things. If you're using a thick swordfish steak, of course, that'll happen even better. When you're putting the spice on the fish or chicken, what you need to do is put a little clarified butter on first. Now, if you can't have butter, you could use oil, but butter really makes it taste better. You have clarified butter. You don't want the milk solids in there because they'll burn too quickly. And then sprinkle the spice on. And then leave it. Don't rub the spice in. The spice just stays. The butter will firm up a little bit. The product's cold, obviously. And when your pan's hot, simply put the spice side down first. You've got that little bit of butter on there. You got the spice. You shouldn't have to add any more, but if it looks a little dry, you'll add a little more. You get a lot of smoke, though, and some people like to do this outside. You cook it on one. You check it. You know, when it gets, you don't want it too black, but you want a good sear on it, and then flip it over. Now, if you want extra spicy, of course, you would spice the other side. After it's in the pan, drizzle a little butter over, sprinkle the spices, then flip it so you've got the blackening on both sides. I find for most tastes the one side is fine. If you want it extra spicy, then again, use both sides or sprinkle the spice on both sides. Now, if it's something like, say, you have a thick piece of swordfish, or if you haven't pounded your chicken out, that thing, you want to finish it in the oven fine. Don't leave it into the pan where it's like a cinder. That's a no-no. Then you're getting to that bitter stage. The paprika's in there too long. And blackened food, you know, you can, as I say, if you're sometimes for home cooks, you get the pan hot in the kitchen and run it outside and keep it on your outside grill there. That'll maintain the heat. But it is it's kind of restaurants much easier to do because we have the big fans that exhaust the smoke. Now, the steak is a different kind of seasoning, and this spice also goes well with lamb. We have guests that like our lamb pops done this way, and we still use the cast iron. So this one is 3/4 of a cup of salt, 2/3 of a cup of white pepper, 2/3 of a cup of fennel seed, and I don't crush them. I leave them whole, 1/2 cup of black pepper, 1/4 cup of cayenne, and 1/4 cup of powdered mustard. And this, again, you've got a powder in there with the granular, so, and you've got seeds. So this one really needs to be mixed up well so you get things spread out better. The mustard is actually a flour, but the dry mustard, it works in there. This is a little bit simpler one. The steak, however, which I had the good fortune to taste at Chef Paul's restaurant, in his book he's got a recipe for Cajun prime ribs. So you get a 4-rib roast and peel back the fat, put onions, put a lot of spices on it, blast it in a 550-degree oven for 30 minutes. So you're not cooking it. You're just getting the outside seared. Then you let it rest. You chill it, and then you slice your steaks. And then those could be either grilled or pan-fried or blackened again. So this whole process, we still do it. We do it with ribeye. We don't use the bone-in. We season the outside, and we give it the 30-minute sear in the hot oven. We cook it on 15 minutes and then flip it so it kind of browns. And what this does is drives out some of the moisture. So I look at it. I never figured out chemically what happens. All I know is that these steaks, you chill them down, you cut the steaks. When you hit them in the cast iron pan, they don't curl up. Whereas if you take a raw ribeye and do it, sometimes you get curling up. So, you know, these proteins are set. Again, it does take out some of the moisture, so you're left with, you know, kind of the effect of dry aging without the mold. You still have to shave off the ends when you're cutting the steaks. The meat does not cook in the middle. It's only seared on the outside, but it does work. So we do the blackened version where we have these steaks that we've seared off the ribeye and then chilled it, cut the steaks, and heat the cast iron pan. Now, this one, we don't use butter on the steak because the ribeye has a lot of fat in it. Although, once it's in the pan, we do drizzle a little bit of butter over it just to make sure. But your pan, smoking hot, white hot, and put the spice rub on both sides of the steak. And this one, because you're not using the butter on the steak, you have to kind of rub it in. And this will give you a great tender steak. And when you've got that nice blackened crust, now, what, of course, he doesn't tell you in the book, at the restaurant, he brushed the steak with a brown garlic butter and served it with a horseradish cream. So we have the horseradish cream at the restaurant. We always, it's 3 parts sour cream to 1 part horseradish, or 4 to 1, whichever, you know, how depending on how strong you like it. You'd think that horseradish is already spicy and it would with a spicy steak, but it really does work. The dairy helps calm down the spice on the steak a little bit. But the brown garlic butter is key. And that's where this, we will use whole butter and melt it, put garlic in it. And this has to cook until the garlic just starts to brown. You don't want it to burn. It gets bitter then. Just gets that light brown. And of course, the milk solids and the butter are helping that. Take it off the heat and put it in a container that's, of course, heat proof. And right away, we throw in a handful of, we're using pound or two of butter, so it's a handful of chopped fresh parsley. And that parsley sizzles because of the hot butter. And this stuff, make sure you stir it before you use it, but you brush that on the steak or your lamb chops. The garlic's not, it's not really roasted garlic. It's a little bit different, but the brown garlic butter is a key to the enjoyment of the Cajun steak. We do have guests that like the Cajun spice on other steaks, like a strip steak or even a hamburger. It works. You've got that little anise flavor from the fennel seeds. And the nice thing, leaving them whole, if you happen not to like to crunch them, you can just brush them off. But it's only in there as a little flavoring anyway. We're going to come back. We're going to learn how to make roux, which is the base of gumbos and etouffees for your Cajun Creole cooking at Chef Bill's Table.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Federal investigators focusing on an improperly aligned track switch in their investigation into a deadly train crash in South Carolina early Sunday morning. The head of the NTSB saying on NBC this morning that the track switch routed the Amtrak train onto a track where a CSX freight train was parked.
It appears that that switch, the rail switch, was in a position that it was not intended to be in.
But NTSB Chairman Robert Sumwalt says they'll look into all possible factors in the crash. Two crewmen aboard the Amtrak train were killed, and over 100 people on that passenger train were injured in the crash early yesterday near Columbia, South Carolina. President Trump has said it before, and this morning he tweets it, that any deal on DACA that would protect so-called young dreamers will have to include strong border security and funding for a massive border wall. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
If you're a CPAP user, soap and water cleaning may leave harmful bacteria, viruses, and mold that can make you sick. That alone will keep you up at night. Until now, SoClean.com is the world's first and only automated hands-free CPAP cleaner and sanitizer. SoClean kills 99.9% of all CPAP germs without soap, water, harsh chemicals, or even equipment disassembly. And now, you can try it risk-free for 30 days. Call 800-768-0158.
SoClean changed the CPAP experience for the better. My health has improved. It's simple to use, and I'm not worried about infections.
SoClean's revolutionary design makes it easy to clean your CPAP and protect you against CPAP-related illnesses. Plus, SoClean works with all popular CPAP devices to clean them in minutes. It really is that easy. Don't risk your health. Call SoClean.com now to try it risk-free for 30 days. Call 800-768-0158. This offer won't last. Call now. 800-768-0158. 800-768-0158.
Chef Bill here. We're going to talk about roux. And anybody that studied classical cooking, or we've made a sauce, you know, we melt butter, add some flour, or use oil. You need to use oil for this. Different colors of roux. And what happens, the roux becomes also a flavoring agent and becomes less of a thickening agent when you cook the roux out. Now, normally when you're making a sauce, you'd want to cook out the flour so it doesn't have a starchy flavor. But with the Cajun roux, you have your hot oil. You need to use oil, and I always use canola, something with no flavor. 1-to-1 ratio by measure. Usually it's a little more flour than that, but this is not going to be one of these thick roux. You have to be able to stir it, keep it smooth, and once you've added your flour to the not smoking hot oil either. You don't want to burn the flour. This is that fine line between, again, you know, black and burnt, because they actually have what they call a chocolate roux, where you've got it really literally looking like chocolate, but it's not burnt. It's just got this really nice nutty flavor. So once your flour's in there, you need to stir it over you know, low to, well, actually close to medium heat. You're going to want to cook this stuff, and it will get very smooth. And as you're stirring it, you'll see it start to turn color from the pale, from the oil and the flour. It'll get, you know, a little beige. And as you're stirring it, it's going to turn darker and darker. And you decide how dark you want it. But this is really, if you're doing, again, the etouffee, the smothered dishes, or gumbo, which is the food, the soup slash stew, depending on when if you're having it before or as a meal with rice. This is the basis of the cooking. And the other thing you need, of course, is the vegetables, the trinity. You always hear Emerald talking about the onions, celery, and peppers. Never Cajun cooking, especially no wine was really used. It's just a lot of the vegetables and the spices. Now, to make spice, again, you've got, if you have your Cajun spice ready, or you could use some cayenne and black and white pepper. Some people like to put hot sauce. Of course, Tabasco would be the key one from down there. And that's usually seasoning more at the end. But when you have this roux made, then you put your vegetables in there, your trinity. They're going to saute pretty quickly because this roux is very, very hot. You have to be careful. If it, I used to call it Cajun napalm. If it lands on your skin, there's no way to get it off. You're going to get a good burn. This oil is not to the smoke point, but, you know, close to it when you're cooking this. So you have your vegetables, your spice, herb, mainly bay leaf and thyme, you'll do well with. And then your ingredients. And, of course, good broth or stock is crucial, like it is for any soup or stew. If you're using canned broths, just watch your salt content, that's all. So, for example, gumbos, again, many recipes. You could have a seafood gumbo. You could have sometimes the Cajuns will call filet gumbo, which the soup is seasoned with the filet powder, ground sassafras leaves. And that, if you're doing that, has to be added at the end. And usually you don't boil the gumbo after that. In fact, a lot of times it's just at the table as a seasoning. It will have a little thickening effect on the gumbo. Okra, if you include it early on as one of the vegetables, will also have a similar effect. But just don't, if you're using filet powder, if you can find it, it's nice at the end, but don't boil the product after that. It's a funny texture. As I say, etouffee, we're going to probably do a chicken etouffee is great, especially with legs, dark meat. It's a smothered chicken, so you have your etouffee sauce, which again, the brown roux, the trinity, your spice, and some broth, and the chicken is browned and then finished off in that sauce. It's got that brown roux flavor is something unique, and it's worth the time and trouble to make. It's once you've had it, and you know, of course, it doesn't taste floury at all. It tastes something totally different. Crawfish, if you can find them. I guess you could substitute maybe lobsterettes. Sometimes we see those in the stores. Crawfish, we used to get them live shipped in. Sometimes you can get the whole ones steamed that are already boiled off. Crawfish, simply, it's just like doing a shrimp boil for a peel and eat shrimp or a crab boil. You have your broth and your spice. Although crab boils usually have, and shrimp boil, I know we do for our peel and eat shrimp. We use some beer and some vinegar, but the crawfish boil, you really just want that spice. And what happens, too, is you have it's seasoning the water, but then they also sprinkle some on afterwards. You're handling the shells, and really it's more of the spices getting on your fingers, and you're getting it as you eat some of the meat. Crawfish tails frozen you could buy. I've used those before, say if you want to garnish a jambalaya or a gumbo, but depending on where they're from, you know, there's varying amounts of quality out there, and probably, you know, if we're not in the area where crawfish are harvested, then, you know, we use shrimp. And that's what we're going to do in our jambalaya when we do that. We use the jambalayas. Could be anything as simple as ham and andouille, or it could be seafood, could be a mix, kind of like paella, if you think about it. And, of course, you see that influence, the jambalaya, the rice dish. Different from paella in that you're cooking this, the rice is cooked with a lid on it, more like a pilaf, where paella is cooked in the open pan. And, of course, the seasonings are quite a bit different, but otherwise it's a similar process. So for jambalaya, and then there's a couple of ways to serve it. Now, some places, and we've done it in the past like this, where you make a kind of your proteins and vegetables in a Creole sauce, you know, a tomatoey, spicy, you know, a little bit of sweet. Actually, we sneak a little ketchup in there. Ketchup's one of those seasonings sometimes that we don't tell everybody. It's that perfect sweet and sour taste if you want it. And you have your proteins in the sauce and then ladle it over some rice. And this is good. In the restaurant, a lot of times we'll have to finish the rice off just like we finish a risotto. We have the rice cooked, par cooked, and then finished off in the jambalaya sauce, Creole sauce, let's say. Problem comes when you're doing seafood and meats in there. You have to put your seafood in toward the end. So when you're doing, a recipe like this, you have your trinity, again, your scallions, pepper, or chopped onions, pepper and celery, a little bit of garlic, and you could use oil or butter. And again, you'll see many recipes out there. You could use chopped fresh tomatoes or some canned chopped tomatoes. You always want a little bit of that tomato product in there. We always have a ham in there. And if you can find the tasso, the Cajun ham, it's well worth it. Paul Perdomo, he could give a substitute if you use like a very good ham. And what we used to do is just add a little Cajun seasoning when we're frying the ham. But if you can find the tasso, it's very good. Andouille, key thing. Some good andouille sausage, just smoked spicy sausage. Chicken, if you're doing chicken in there, you cube up the chicken. Now, you could do it two ways. You could have chicken that's already cooked and add it at the end. What I like to do, of course, the thighs are the best, at dark meat. And I'll do boneless and skinless because I want them cubed up. That would be my chicken of choice to start off with. So in this case, you know, you're kind of like a paella. You're frying the meats, and then your vegetables go in there. You add your stock and your rice and bring it to a boil. Now with the paella, of course, you're over usually an open pan, open flame, where the jambalaya is more in a pot. And once your rice and liquid comes to a boil, you're really not supposed to stir it, just like a paella. If you stir it, then it's going to release starch from the rice, and you'll end up with more of a risotto, which we don't. We want this. We want the grains of rice to be separate. Converted rice is fine, although a little more authentic. You might use more of a medium grain, the rice that's grown down there, but the long grain works fine. The other thing to remember is your ratio of liquid to rice. Normally for a rice, you do two times the liquid. If you have a cup of rice, you're using two cups of stock. Now in a paella or a jambalaya, it's probably more like 1.5 to 1 because you've got other ingredients in there that are adding liquid to it. What you don't want is overcooked. You don't want to keep adding stock because then you've got, again, that risotto effect. You just that's a whole different process. So here's what, you know, measuring does matter. Again, you're cooking it. Once that comes to a simmer, it's 20-25 minutes. Now, You need to put your time right. If you're adding shrimp or seafood, that, just like a paella, would go in towards the end when there's only 5 or 7 minutes left. Simply place the shrimp in there, or if you're using oysters or little lobsterettes, the crayfish, if you're using them, are probably already cooked, just the tail meat. All you're trying to do then is warm it up. And you'll have your mixed jambalaya. Again, the simplest way is just do the ham and the tasso. Be very tasty, or chicken. You don't have to add the seafood. We often do in the or sometimes what we'll do is we've done in the past is make like a popcorn shrimp or popcorn crawfish tails, fried up and tossed in a Cajun spice. So we'll have the basic jambalaya with chicken and ham and andouille, and then garnish it with some fried seafood. So the advantage to there is, you know, you can, if somebody can't have seafood, you're not worrying about it. And then also it puts that little crunch factor, which we like to do oftentimes when you have something that's, you know, a hearty, soft food. We like to garnish with a little bit of crunch. So that's another option that you have. We've got a break for a couple of words here. We'll finish up, look at a couple of more things to celebrate Mardi Gras with. I know many cultures have celebrations at this time, Carnival in Brazil. We got Pancakes Stroke Tuesday, right? If you're into that, always a good thing to have the night before, a good pancake supper. But at any rate, we'll be back in a couple of minutes and finish up with some more thoughts.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime. And selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you...
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Shape is my shame, there where I used to sit.
the table here, Chef Bill's table. So, for Mardi Gras, something, we run them at lunch and dinner all the time, oyster poor boys. I guess the Louisiana version of what we would call a hoagie or a sub. And like any sandwich, of course, the bread is the key thing, and I'm sure there the local bakeries have a certain texture and style of bread that really works. But we use a French club hero roll, which does pretty well. And you can tunnel them out or not. That's always, if you're overfilling them, you just take the when you split the roll in half to fill it, take the top part where it's curved there and just pull out some of the bread there and just leave yourself a little bit more room for filling. We do the fried oyster one all the time, but also people like popcorn shrimp, small shrimp, breaded up and fried or battered, toss in the spice. If you're doing fried crawfish like that. But shrimp and oyster seems to be the big one. Of course, there are many types down there. There's, the hot beef one, which, we might call that a French dip. But mainly, I think when people think of po' boys, they think of the fried seafood. And it's a good sandwich. Have your shredded lettuce. The Cajun remoulade, I guess, is the, of course, you have your sauce. We kind of do it. We take our regular remoulade and mix it with a cocktail sauce. Give it that pink color. That's kind of the difference there. You could use chili sauce for your regular remoulade, but that's what tinges it. Now, we have a fry sauce for King Burger there, and it's kind of modeled after a sherry sauce that Paul Prudhomme presents as the Cajun popcorn with. And it's a mayonnaise base. We have sherry, you have some scallion, a little ketchup, a little horseradish, a little mustard. Kind of like what most people, most burger places have some kind of, they call it fry sauce, some kind of spicy mayonnaise to dip your fries in or put on your hamburger. But the po' boys would be something if you're not into doing a whole jambalaya. If you want a good sandwich, always good, lunch or dinner. You can make long ones and cut them in pieces if you like for serving, or make individual ones. But desserts, the king cake, and normally between Epiphany and Mardi Gras, in some Christian nations, of course, you have some version of that pastry. King cakes are kind of cool. They're like a sweet brioche, or if you think of like a Danish, it's a dough. It's a yeast-raised dough, sweet, but some butter and egg in it, so you're making it richer. So it's a brioche would be a bread done without all the sugar. Add some sugar to this, and it's got a bread-like texture, even though it's not cake. It is made with yeast. It has to rise. It has to be kneaded, formed. It's normally in a circle or an oval shape, and it's baked. Sometimes it's filled with, you have some raisins, or think of like a coffee cake ring. It's kind of like that dough, if you've had that before. Not a coffee cake crumb cake, but the ring. That's what I see. Even like a Danish, that's the dough reminds me of. The king cakes are sweet. You've got the icing on them with the three colors, the gold, green, and the purple. And pretty cool. You can order them in. My son was working for a marketing company. They used to do marketing for casinos down there, and they'd always send them a king cake. It's pretty good. But I did a twist on desserts like that. If you like the cinnamon type thing, Bananas Foster, one of the great desserts down there from New Orleans, the caramelized bananas flamed and then put over ice cream. And what I did, we actually ran them at the restaurant for a little while. We used to make a French toast out of a cinnamon raisin or a cinnamon brioche. So you would buy the brioche loaves from the bakery. So you're already using a very rich bread. And then, of course, you're soaking it in the egg and the cinnamon and then making French toast. And that was kind of the base for the dessert. Still use some ice cream. And we would have our bananas with the nice caramel. You've got the rum, brown sugar, butter. I actually used to always, I would sneak a little chocolate in there too. Just that little extra flavor. But bananas Foster, bananas are always available. Great dessert. If you're flaming it with the rum, of course, you want to add the rum off the heat. Don't set the kitchen on fire. And you don't need too much. You know, the places that do a table side, of course, you use the high-proof rum, and you know, you get the big pyromantics there going on. It's the show. It helps sell it. But you just need that little bit of rum, that nice flavor in there. Again, whole butter, brown sugar. You saute the bananas in that. You're just caramelizing the outside. And vanilla ice cream is the standard, but you may want to, you know, you could vary it. I think vanilla is a good backdrop, but put it on the French toast. It would be a nice showcase dessert. Although the way you see some of the pancake and breakfast houses now, some of those pancakes are pretty much like dessert, right? The with the stuff with cream cheese and all the fruit on them and everything and whipped cream. Kind of grown. And speaking of pancakes, that's again, you know, Tuesday, pancake day. If you're looking for a quick dinner, you know, they don't just have to be for breakfast. And think, you know, cultures have them. You've got probably one of the easiest things to make gluten-free. You could make them with corn flour. But crepes, blinis, anything like that. Be a nice dinner. I always like pancakes and eggs, but you're going to get your last shot of sweets before the Lent season, which Christian cultures, of course, it's a time of penance and reflection, and usually over at kids, so you're giving up candy for Lent. No sweet things. So Shrove Tuesday would be the last day. So have a king cake or some good pancakes. Cook some New Orleans-style food. Learn to use that spice. Use those spice mixes. They're good, handy to have in your pantry. You make them up. You've got consistency. And you'll find different uses for them. But Cajun Creole cooking, always good. Fun food. And after, you know, the spice level, you can adjust your own. But when you're using red pepper and spices like that, the hot peppers, you use a little bit at the beginning and cook it out. You're getting flavor out of there too, not just heat. So some tendency nowadays is just to overdo all that. But really you want that flavor with different peppers. We've got to take off the end of the hour. Hope everybody has a good week. Valentine's Day coming up too. Talk about that. It'll be kind of strange being on Ash Wednesday, but maybe we'll do some fancy seafood. Chef Bill's Table, signing off.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
federal investigators focusing on an improperly aligned track switch in their investigation into a deadly train crash in South Carolina early Sunday morning. The head of the NTSB saying on NBC this morning that the track switch routed the Amtrak train onto a track where a CSX freight train was parked.
It appears that that switch, the rail switch, was in a position that it was not intended to be in.
But NTSB Chairman Robert Sumwalt says they'll look into all possible factors in the crash. Two crewmen aboard the Amtrak train were killed, and over 100 people on that passenger train were injured in the crash early yesterday near Columbia, South Carolina. President Trump has said it before, and this morning he tweets it, that any deal on DACA that would protect so-called young dreamers will have to include strong border security and funding for a massive border wall. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Hi, everyone. Wayne Allyn. Let's talk about your health. There's no question you need omega-3s, but which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Nutritionists have debated this for years, but luckily there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus from our friends